The views and opinions expressed on my story, Living with Lupus Podcast, represents each person's individual experience. By listening to this podcast or reading our blog, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. As always, consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My Story Living with Lupus Podcast is officially trademarked, all rights reserved. Thank you for joining me for another episode of My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Hendricks, and I'm so glad that you could join me on this Thursday, March 17th, 2022. Today, we'll be talking about lupus and RA. Rheumatoid arthritis. Did you know that rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease? Also, we'll be talking about kidney disease gene risk info, AIDS prevention in primary care. Trials showed benefits in the hypertensive patients of African descent. And lastly, from HHS, Health and Human Services, to revise doctor-insured dispute process under new Surprises Act. So, you know what I want you to do. That's right, all the way from the United States to my friends across the bridge and through the tunnel. Yes, I'm talking about Ontario, British Columbia, Nova Scotia, Alberta, Quebec, and Newfoundland, Canada. That's right, get ready to grab your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, and to my listeners late at night, you know, you guys, I really appreciate you. So go ahead and grab your favorite glass of wine and join the conversation right here on My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. Before we get into the first topic of discussion today, I want to tell you about several incidents that have happened since my liver biopsy. For one, I haven't been feeling the greatest. For number two, I overheard a conversation that my sister was having with one of her ex-co-workers. And this conversation was about myself. And my sister had the phone on speaker. And I heard the lady ask my sister, "Well, stay tuned. It must be really rough being ill the majority of your life." And it's not what she said that caught my attention. It's how she said it. It was like in a pity way, "Oh, I feel so sorry for her." Well, those were her exact words. "I feel so sorry for her. She's been sick the majority
of her life. And my sister replied, she said, yeah, she's been dealing with it since the age of 5, but our parents brought us up to not have a pity party. That's the best way I can put it. Not to have a pity party and to stay strong. Even though, you know, we may get down, but we get up to fight another day, and that's how we were raised. And so the woman went on and on and on. And so I stepped into the room with my sister. I had a note that I had written out, and I gave it to my sister, and it stated, tell her in a nice way she doesn't feel sorry for herself, and she doesn't like people to give her pity. And so my sister, you know, replied what was on the note to the woman. And so the woman came back and stated, well, knowing that you're dying and you will never get well, that must put a lot of psychological pressure on her. And my sister said, no, it doesn't. She's just fine. That type of negativity, I don't deal with very well. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. The next situation occurred. I received a telephone call from an old college friend, and he was asking me about lupus. And so I went on to explain to him exactly what lupus was and how it reacted to my body, and that no, there is no cure for this illness. And he then turned around and asked me, well, how did you catch it? I said, you can't catch lupus. I said, mine is genetic. I said, my father carried the gene from his mother. It skipped my brothers and sisters. And I was the one that the gene got passed on to. And so he went on and went on and said, well, how do you feel most days? I said, I have my good days and I have my bad days. And he went on again and said, I just don't understand what this is. When we were in college, did you have it then? I said, yes. And he said, but you didn't look sick. You didn't act like you were sick. And I said, well, what does looking sick consist of? And what does acting like you're sick consist of? He could not answer. So conversation went on and on. And he said, does your daughter have lupus? I said, no. She's checked every year. I said, she's informed her PCP that I have lupus. And so they do blood tests on her each and every year. Okay, so the conversation still goes on. He still doesn't understand about it. So I told him, I said, I've explained it to you the best that I could. If it's something that you don't understand, there is a lot of fact-based information on the internet that you could look up and find out more about this illness. I have explained to you all of the signs and symptoms that I had experienced. I said each person who has this illness experienced different things at different times. I said lupus is not a one-size-fits-all illness that you can place us in a box and say, okay, we're all going to have a flare-up at the same time. I said this illness, I had to catch myself, this illness does not stop me from living. I just had to readjust the things that I do. I said, no, I can no longer work out as long as I used to. No, I cannot be in the sun for long periods of time. No, certain foods that I can eat and certain foods that I must stay away from due to the fact that lupus has attacked my gastrointestinal system. And it has attacked my lymphatic system. And I started listing all of the internal organs that lupus has attacked. And he asked me, do you go in a hospital a lot? I said, I used to. But knock on wood, I've been fortunate for the past couple of years, not, you know, so many hospital visits. And then he went right back and stated, if I shook your hand, could I catch lupus? I said, well, I tell you what, my friend, if you tried to shake my hand, I would tell you, no, we could fist pump, elbow bump, but I don't know where your hands have been. And I said it just like that. And I said, as a matter of fact, you're more dangerous to me than I am to you. And he said, why? I said, if you're feeling ill, you cough, guess who's going to get sick? And it's going to hit me 10 times as hard. I said, if you sneeze and you have a cold, guess who's going to get sick? And it hits 10 times as hard. I said, so I'm no danger to you. You're more of a danger to me. And I think that people who don't know that much or possess a lack of knowledge regarding this illness will come up with different ideas of what it really is. And in actuality, he stated he really thought that I had HIV. I said, why? Just because I said autoimmune illness? He said, yeah. I said, no, I don't have HIV. He said, well, if you knew someone with HIV, would you be around them? I said, why not? I said, they're human. Why not? And he stated, oh, I just asked. You know, I don't mind the questions from individuals, but if you hear or you know someone with this illness, it's okay to ask questions, but just know you cannot catch it. And let the individual know that you're not going to stop living just because you have this illness. So, as you can see, on one hand, people believe that they should feel sorry for me. And on the other hand, some people, are afraid to be around me because they think that it's contagious. Lupus is not contagious. So those were the situations that I wanted to talk about, that people really have a misconception about this illness. When we come back, I'll be talking about lupus versus rheumatoid arthritis. So stay with me. And we're back and we're talking about lupus versus RA. What to know, rheumatoid arthritis. This information was found in Medical News Today. Lupus and rheumatoid arthritis are both autoimmune conditions in which the immune system attacks healthy tissue, causing inflammation in the body. They share symptoms, and it is possible to have both lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. Researchers refer to the overlap of conditions as rupus syndrome, according to a 2018 article. Rupus syndrome is a rare occurrence affecting 0.09% of people. Researchers are unsure if lupus is the cause of rheumatoid arthritis, better known as RA, in rupus syndrome, or if the two conditions coexist. The term lupus includes several types, including systemic lupus erythematosus, better known as SLE, which is the most familiar of all of the lupus types. Other types include drug-induced, discoid, and neonatal lupus. Now, to all of my new listeners who may not understand exactly what SLE is, SLE can affect multiple areas of the body, including the joints, the skin, and internal organs. People with SLE have an overactive immune system, that attacks healthy tissue, causing inflammation. As the inflammation travels through the body, various tissues and organs can become inflamed. SLE can affect people differently, and it is difficult to predict which area of the body will become inflamed. When it comes to RA, in RA, the immune system attacks the synovium, which is the lining that covers the joints. This attack causes inflammation and prevents the synovium from working correctly to lubricate the joints and maintain a normal alignment. In turn, joints can be damaged and become unstable, leading to pain, stiffness, and restriction of normal movement. Now, what are the common symptoms that can appear with both SLE and RA? Some common symptoms are shared by SLE and RA, although each condition also has its own symptoms. Now, far as fever and fatigue, it both occurs in SLE and RA. Kidney problems are more common in SLE. Rash, chest pain, and shortness of breath is more common in SLE. Swelling and stiffness in many joints is common in both SLE and RA. And joint abnormality is more common in RA. Now, in addition, both SLE and RA commonly affect the same joints, which are usually the smaller joints in the body, including fingers, wrists, knees, ankles, and toes. In addition, a person will generally experience symptoms such as pain in both wrist joints rather than in only one. What are the main differences between SLE and RA? The differences between the two conditions include their effects on skin, internal organs, and joint pain. The effect on skin, SLE can affect the skin, whereas RA usually does not do so. An SLE rash characteristically presents with a butterfly-shaped rash on the cheeks and the nose. Internal organs, while both conditions can cause inflammation of the heart, lungs, a person with SLE is more likely to experience these symptoms than someone with RA. In addition, SLE can affect internal organs such as the kidneys, lungs, and heart. Now, although RA can affect internal organs, it does not commonly affect the kidneys. Joint pain, the main symptom of RA, is joint pain and stiffness. Stiffness is not a prominent symptom in SLE. When it comes down to the specific symptoms of each of these conditions. Although both SLE and RA have some shared symptoms, each condition also has a specific set of symptoms relating to each condition. Now, SLE specific symptoms: painful or swollen joints, fatigue, swollen hands, feet, or around the eyes, headaches, low fever, sensitivity to sunlight or fluorescent light, pain in the chest during deep breathing. Now, people may also have symptoms relating to the skin or the hair. A butterfly-shaped rash across the cheeks and nose, hair loss, ulcers or sores in the mouth or nose, numbness or change in color of fingers and toes when cold or stress. When it comes to RA symptoms, now the symptoms of RA may come and go. According to the Arthritis Foundation, symptoms of RA include pain, stiffness, or swelling in the joints for 6 weeks or more, stiff joints in the morning lasting for 30 minutes or more, multiple joint involvement, symptoms in the same joints on both the left and the right sides of the body, symptoms occurring in smaller joints first, such as the hands, wrists, and feet, fatigue, a lack of energy, low fever, the causes and risk factors for both. Well, when it comes to SLE, it's uncertain, the cause. As is the cause, the case for RA, although some suggested causes includes genetics and environment. There are several risk factors, including age, gender, lifestyle, and diet. Now, according to older 2013 data from the Lupus Foundation of America, researchers are not sure what causes lupus. There may be genetic factors, as SLE is more likely to affect people with family members who have SLE or another condition. Elements such as hormones or environmental factors may also trigger SLE symptoms. The Lupus Foundation also states that SLE is also more common in females ages 15 to 44, and certain ethnic and racial groups. Now, African Americans are affected most by this illness. Then Asian Americans, Hispanic, Latin, Native American, and Pacific Islander. There is no clear cause for RA, according to the Arthritis Foundation. Some people may have certain genes that respond to environmental triggers, such as a virus or stress, which can cause RA. The risk factors are being between ages 40 and 60, being female, having family member with RA, being overweight, smoking, eating a diet high in red meat and low in vitamin C. Both conditions may be treated with medications, physical therapy, regular exercise. Rest can also help to support the joints and ease stiffness. When it comes to SLE, the range of medications as we know to help manage SLE symptoms consist of anti-malarial drugs such as hydroxychloroquine to help manage fatigue, lupus-related arthritis, rashes, ulcers, and help prevent lupus flares. Corticosteroids such as prednisone, immunosuppressants to suppress the immune system, and treat symptoms affecting internal organs and the central nervous system. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, better known as NSAIDs, to decrease inflammation and relieve pain. Biologic, such as drugs to treat lupus in adults and children. RA treatment can include medication such as NSAIDs to reduce the pain and inflammation, disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs to slow down joint damage, and corticosteroids to reduce pain and inflammation. Why are the conditions sometimes misdiagnosed? Both SLE and RA have symptoms that overlap with each other and with other conditions, which can make diagnosis difficult. A doctor will take a full medical history and carry out a physical examination to reach the correct diagnosis. Now, in summary, SLE and RA are both autoimmune conditions that causes the immune system to attack healthy tissues in the body, leading to inflammation. SLE can affect multiple areas of the body, including the skin and internal organs, while RA usually affects the joints, although inflammation can affect the eyes, mouth, heart, and lungs. Medication and therapy may help manage the symptoms. Now, you know, one of the best therapies that you can have, you might as well say, for both conditions is aquatherapy. That's pool therapy. And that helped me a great deal before the pandemic had started. But one of the most important things that any of us can do to prevent RA is avoid tobacco smoking, which has been strongly implicated in the development of the disease. You know, a recent study found that even passive smoking in childhood significantly increased the risk for RA in later life. Now, when it comes down to a cure, there is no cure for either one, you know, and that's a shame. But there exist many treatment options. Some are oral medications, as stated before. Others are injections or infusions. Your healthcare provider can discuss the options with you and advise you on a subtle, not subtle, but suitable medication regimen that can be adjusted according to your response. And always lifestyle modifications. Change your diet up, start to exercise, maintain a good sleep schedule. And I know that's hard for some of us who are suffering with both of these illness, RA and SLE, because our sleep is kind of strange. You know, we have bouts where we'll stay up or can't sleep at all. So try to get on a sleep regimen, you know, and try to exercise. By doing this, it can reduce inflammation and the risk of RA complications such as heart disease. So stay with me. I'll be right back. Well, thank you for rejoining me, and I would like to welcome all of my new listeners from Reason FM. I think what I'm going to do, we're going to talk about the kidney disease gene risk, info AIDS prevention in primary care, and the trial showed benefits in hypertensive patients of African descent. But we're going to save HHS to revise doctor insurer dispute process under No Surprises Act for Friday. That one we'll save for Friday, but we're going to do this one regarding kidney disease gene risk info for hypertensive people of African ancestry. Knowing your genetic risk for chronic kidney disease modestly helped with their efforts to prevent it. A pilot randomized clinical trial showed 3 months after being given the news that they carried high-risk variants in the APOL1 gene on chromosome 22, patients had a significantly greater reduction in systolic blood pressure than those told they had low risk APOL1 genotypes or who weren't told their genetic risk. In parentheses, mean 6 versus 3 mmHg in both other groups. Now, by 12 months, those with information about their high genetic risk were more likely to have gotten urine albumin testing for kidney disease, and an increase of 12 versus 6 to 7 percentage points in the other two groups versus controls. The patients with high risk APOL1 genotypes more often reported improving their dietary and exercise habits. The trial returned the genetic results to both the patients in the intervention group and their primary care physicians. conveyed through trained laypersons and alerts in the electronic health record, better known as EHR. Thus, the researchers suggested that their results may support an approach of broad implementation of genetic medicine in primary care. Now, primary care is where most healthcare happens for patients. And although genetic counselors have typically been on the front lines of genetic testing, they are in short supply compared with the number of people who would need it for common conditions. Now, you should ask your doctor also their office, his or her office, provide genetic testing. High-risk variants of APOL1 are found in one of seven people of African ancestry for whom they confer a 5 to 10-fold increased risk for chronic and end-stage kidney disease from hypertension. Getting such genetic testing into broad use will benefit racial and ethnic minority groups that have been traditionally underrepresented in both clinical trials and genetic studies. The trial used layperson coordinators, mainly of African ancestry, who had been trained by genetic counselors to convey test results and to be sensitive to the culture and challenges facing patients. This approach was viewed very favorably, with only 3% of patients saying they wouldn't choose to get tested again. Now, you see what they did. And it states right here in this study, they used individual laypersons that look like the controlled study group that they believed that the patients would feel more comfortable with the information being relayed to them. That's the way I'm taking it. They may not have meant it that way, but why not train the doctors as they did the layperson coordinators, regardless of the color, to convey test results and to be sensitive to the culture and challenges facing patients? That's my point on that. Clinicians, tenders, and we're talking about nurse practitioners and physician assistants, may be useful for other practices to consider to permanently fill this role for busy clinicians or as a bridge while clinicians learn to incorporate information from a relatively new field into their workflow, the researchers suggested. The trial enrolled 2,050 patients of African ancestry with hypertension from 15 academic community and safety net practices in 2 health systems in New York City. Participants were randomly assigned 7-to-1 to immediately be given APOL1 genotype results or for results to be delayed until after the 12th-month visit. The coordinators collected venous blood samples or saliva samples if needed, for genetic testing at baseline and then returned the results in person for high-risk APOL1 genotypes or over the phone for patients who were low-risk. Participants, primary care physicians, got a one-time EHR alert. An EHR is electronic health record. With the genotype result, recent blood pressure readings, and links to information. When they saw that patients within the 12-month follow-up period. Now, few prior studies testing the impact of disclosing genetic risks for chronic diseases have found it improved outcomes. The benefits in this trial, while modest, may be due to the use of EHR alerts, which have previously shown efficacy along with disclosure of genetic results to patients. Now, the magnitude of systolic blood pressure improvement was small, but they did not provide specific BP target recommendations or BP lowering strategies to clinicians or patients, they noted. It's possible that more intense BP lowering efforts would boost the impact. There were some downsides to disclosure of high-risk genotypes, with more of these patients upset about their results and worried they would develop kidney problems. They offered all patients the opportunity to speak to or meet with a genetic counselor at no cost. However, none chose to do so, the researchers noted. Limitations included exclusion of patients with pre-existing chronic kidney disease and lack of comprehensive data on lifestyle and dietary intake or medication refill. So stick with me. When I come back, I'll be closing out. Well, you know what? This has really, it's really been a day. It really has. You know, I appreciate everyone for joining me, especially my new listeners from Reason FM. But listen, everyone needs a little inspiration to go hard and seize the day. Sometimes we need a little reminder that we have the potential to be great, to do great things, and so that we can all chase the dreams that we all have and rise above the harsh voice of that inner critic. You understand what I mean? It's really not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. We should never regret a day in our life. Good days give us happiness and bad days give us experience.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about. But people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host for my story, Living with Lupus Podcast. Just know it will never matter what others think of you. It will always matter what you think of you. You be that fearless soul and spirit and go after what you want. I will see you Friday regardless of how I'm feeling. And we'll be talking about HHS to revise doctor insurer dispute process under No Surprise Act. So I'll see you Friday. Keep your head up and keep it moving forward.